I know how to clear out a room. All right. We're going to finish another chapter in John's Gospel today. And as I made mention of a few weeks ago, this entire chapter is kind of one long piece that should be looked at together. We had the beginning where we had the miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. We had the reaction of the people to that feeding, to where they were so impressed with their dinner that they followed Jesus across the sea wanting breakfast. And Jesus taking this opportunity to teach, and some would say even to preach, both who He is, what His purpose is, and giving them, where He had given them food physically the day before, giving them spiritual food during this time. And something we might say strange happens. And as Ryan read a little bit earlier, the spiritual food didn't go down as easy as the physical food. We kind of made the comment that even though they were eating these five little biscuits and two little fish, that as Jesus was creating it, it was probably some of the best biscuits and some of the best fish that they've ever had. And I'm going to say that the spiritual food that He fed them that day, as we looked at over the last couple weeks, it too was some of the greatest words ever proclaimed to the world, showing who He was. And before we get any kind of misconception that maybe these people didn't know or understand what He was saying, they knew exactly what He was saying. And His words drove them away. I mean, Jesus was still producing miracles. He was still healing the sick, the lame, the blind. But something superseded all of that. And that was His words. I mean, we have people today looking for the tricks that they feel they can get out of Christianity. But when they're confronted with God's Word, many times they too turn and walk away. Let's read one more time verses 60 through the end of the chapter. Therefore, many of His disciples, when they heard this, when they heard what? All of His teaching that He just said. I and the Father are one. When they heard this, they said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who it was that would not betray him. And he was saying, "For this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And Jesus answered them, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Father, we lift these words to you this morning. Father, I pray for wisdom in the explanation and exposition of them. Father, that you might be lifted up, that you might be glorified. For it's in Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Many people within Christendom today are enamored by many things in Scripture. And they hold to those. I think we're all like that. We all have our favorite teachings. We all have our favorite doctrines. And there's some that just don't go down quite as easy. We have a hard time with. But it's all God's Word. And as we travel through Scripture expositionally like we do, it's very hard and very difficult to skip over things or to make them say what we want them to say and not what they do say. So Jesus has just come out and taught of his relationship with the Father. He has pretty much given the Jews around him, his audience, the explanation that salvation is not of works. But rather all of God. Remember, 400 years have passed for these people where they have not seen God working within their lives, within the lives of Israel itself. And they've gotten set in their ways. We get set in ours. And as Jesus portrays these truths, as they're wondering, how is this man, son of Joseph and Mary, whom we know, this man who we saw grow from a child. What in the world is he talking about? That he is of God. That we're going to eat his flesh. That as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. I mean, as Jesus is telling them that he's the bread of life, they're thinking back to the biscuits from yesterday. They're thinking of physically. And they don't understand. So verse 60, of course, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? Who can understand it? Now, in this context of disciples, I believe John is talking about all those who were following at this point. Because he distinguishes between the disciples that leave and the 12. So all these followers at this point, following mainly because of the tricks and the food, they get one thing. The one thing they get is that they don't get it. I don't understand. What's he talking about? Verse 61, but Jesus, conscious that these disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? Is the fact that I said it and you don't understand it, is that a problem? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? You don't understand it. I've said it. I've done proved who I am through my works, through my miracles. There should be no cause for denial. But are you having trouble with what I've said? What if then you were to see me ascending to where I came from? Would that do it? And remember, as much as we might think that miracles and supernatural things are the answer to everything, the New Testament proves over and over again that it's not. There must be more than just seeing. Jesus' words again to the rich man in Hades, saying, send me so I can tell my brothers. For if they see someone from the dead, they will believe. Jesus said, no. Even if I were to send someone from the dead, they still would not believe. Verse 63. And this is the key. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Sometimes I think I'm a bad record. Playing over and over and over again. It's not us. It's all of God. Do I have any scriptural backing for that? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Jesus says, the words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. I give you the bread of life. It's presented to you. All you have to do is accept and eat. But Jesus, this is a difficult statement. Who can understand it? Jesus understands. He says, there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray Him. So God, in His omniscient power, His all-knowing, His all-seeing, He looks into eternity future, and He sees all who will come to Him. That is how this is taught in many circles. And to tell you the truth, I can see where we might get that. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that would not believe. He knew who would betray Him. And He was saying, for this reason I have said to you, now this is the other side of the coin, that no one can come to Me unless it has been granted him from the Father. Scripture contradicting itself? God knew from looking into the future who would accept? Or God causes the acceptance? It's hard. I don't understand it. I do and I don't. Not perfectly. But because of all of this, everything that Jesus... I mean, these last verses, verses 60 through 65, these was Jesus trying to explain all this other stuff. And it looks like He explained it pretty well, because verse 66 said, as a result of this, many of His disciples withdrew and were not walking with Him anymore. Because of the words that Jesus said, because of the truth that He gave them, they weren't able to accept it. They were not able to believe. And they turned and walked away. I'm afraid we've all seen this at different points and times in our lives. Any of us who have been in any kind of a true church, a church that proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there's many of them, just... this is not the only one. And we've seen in our body. I'm sure those of you who have come out of First Baptist of anywhere, you've seen it in those bodies. First United Methodist, First Church of Christ, all of these places, people who come with an acceptance of the message. And I don't know, maybe they come with that acceptance, maybe through the love of people. Maybe they've never been shown love before. Maybe it's because people do things for them. Rent, electricity, food gets paid. But then when the truth of Scripture confronts them, whoa, that's not what I bought into. Take up my cross daily? Follow Him? No, I want the Jesus that fixes my life. I want the Jesus that makes everything go away and everything be good. A Jesus who is God? I mean, if Jesus were God, then I would have some kind of... I'd have to give Him some kind of authority in my life. I'd have to listen. And as a result, many of His disciples withdrew and were not walking with Him anymore. There's many people I know who do not walk with Christ. Many people I know who do not walk with Christ who may in some ways know more about Christ than even I do, or the things of Christ. Their knowledge level is strong, but their obedience is weak. Their faith is non-existent. Their belief never was. So as a result, many of His disciples withdrew. So Jesus said to the 12, I mean, we go from a packed house to a handful. The 12 are still there. Jesus said, do you want to go away also? And Peter, pretty much answering for himself, and I think for the 12, or at least the 11 at this point, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Two phrases within Scripture that are my favorite. Ephesians chapter 2. But God. And John 6:68. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Are the words of Christ, the belief in this book, the adherence to His Word, are they enough for you to say, Lord, where would I go? I mean, remember, all the people that were there for lunch and dinner are gone. All the people who are there to watch miracles of healings and everything else are gone. Peter doesn't say, Lord, where would we go? Look at all the stuff you do. You're going to take care of us. No. Where will we go? For you hold the words of eternal life. God has been very, very, very good to me in this lifetime. He truly has. He has given me a soulmate to share this life with, who pushes me in good ways and bad ways. I don't starve, though I could probably starve more. I have more of the desires of my heart most of the time than probably the desires of God's heart. He has given me you, a family, that show your love to me. I don't know why. And who I can show my love to. But none of that matters when it comes to my longevity in faith. Because I honestly believe that I can say like Peter, you know, I'm not going to forsake Christ. If He takes everything away from me, like He allowed Satan to do for Job, I do not believe I would walk away. Because where would I go? There's no way whatsoever that I can believe that everything that we have today, everything in existence, came by some chance of some little proton, neutron, atom, I don't know what, I'm not a scientist, blowing up. And there's something that's as complex as us. No. Something had to create that. I've read the words of Christ. And because the Spirit in verse 63 gives life, I'm able to understand that. You will never have a believer, or I'm sorry, you will never come across an unbeliever who will come to accept the things of Christ because they understand. In contrast, that person will understand because the Spirit will give life and give understanding. Well, does that work everywhere, Dan? Is that universal? Verse 69, we have believed, we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And Jesus answered them, conflict. Did I myself not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil? Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. There! If nothing else, contradiction. God chose Judas. And Judas betrayed him. But what did he choose Judas to? I mean, as we look at the 11 at this point, we see both through biblical history through the book of Acts, the epistles, that we can say, yes, they knew Christ. Judas came into Christ's gathering. Christ allowed him to join his gathering. He both fulfilled Scripture, prophecy from the past. But he came in as a devil. He came in as a non-believer. And he exited as a non-believer. Why? I don't claim to know the mind of God. Nowhere. The things of God are tough for me. I do know that each and every person born since Adam's fall has been born in sin. And that the wages of sin is death. Judas was born in sin. He was born in death. I also understand that I only know Christ because the Spirit of God awakened me, opened my eyes, caused my dead heart, spiritual heart to beat. Why not Judas? I mean, that makes me cry. Why did not Christ allow His Spirit to invade Judas? Does the pot, the lump of clay, the pottery, have any right to go back to the potter and say you're doing this wrong? But all I do know, even through all of this, and I honestly believe, except for the fact that it was prophecy that was fulfilled, anyone can come to Christ through belief. I also understand that no one comes to the Father lest He draw him. I can't reconcile that. So I will go and I will proclaim the gospel of God to the elect. And I will proclaim the gospel of God to the non-elect, hoping that in God's grace they may be elect. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everyone in this room has the opportunity of being a whosoever. Everybody watching on Facebook, even though our broadcasts have been horrible the last few weeks, have the opportunity to be a whosoever. Anyone on sermon audio, any one of our neighbors, any one of our friends, any one of our families, need to know the gospel of Christ so that whosoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. Father, as important as some of these doctrines are, as our head spins sometimes with them, in the end, it's pretty simplistic. Believe and live. Do not believe and die. Lord, that's the truth. Enlighten us, Lord, in all your ways. Thank you for those who are here that love you. Thank you, Lord, for any here today that may be wondering of where they are with you. Father, you've done the work. Your Son has paid the price. Your Spirit is heralding the message. May we believe. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.